Well, I hope you've been learning some things as we've talked about prayer in the last few weeks. As we've looked at prayer, as we've prayed, hopefully you've prayed a few times in the last few weeks. And just to remind you that we have some devotionals that our conference has been putting together. Every week there's a new one. And they're back there on the table. I made about 10 of them. So if we run out, let me know. I can get you another one. This is for from Monday through Saturday throughout the week. And they're just devotionals to help you, guide you in times of prayer with the Lord. And so hopefully you've been renewed. Hopefully you've learned some things. I've learned some things in regards to prayer. And I think that's the point, is to learn and to grow and to grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. And so the question that we started this series with was, why do we pray? We've heard people, we've even done it, we've prayed the Father's prayer, the Lord's prayer to the Father. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We've heard that. We've prayed it. And sometimes we've thought maybe this is what to pray. But Jesus taught the disciples. The disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus taught them not what to pray, but how to pray. They asked him how to pray, and he described it in a kind of a pattern. And so we've been looking at that the last couple weeks. Just a reminder, prayer is not a magic wand. Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. It is not a tug of war with God. If I can pull strong enough, he'll give in. And prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. In fact, I think I've done this. I'm not sure if you've done this, but prayer sometimes sounds like a candy dispenser. Like, God, I need this in my life. Or sometimes maybe it's even, it sounds, you know, spiritual. We've treated God like Santa Claus. You know, we sit on his lap and we give him our list. Prayer is not making a list for Santa Claus. In fact, prayer is more than that. It is a way that we connect with God. Prayer is how we connect with him. It's our commitment to him. It's how we communicate to God. It is how we cast our cares upon him. When we are struggling, prayer is all about our relationship with the Creator God. And so this is how to pray. We're going to look at that a little more today. In fact, we can reference God as our Father, the perfect Father, the Father that loves us. He has compassion on us. And he cares for our needs. And because we put our faith in Jesus, his son, we can be called children, his children. And so therefore we can call God our Father. So the second part this week, last week we talked about the first part of the Lord's Prayer. If you break it down, you could break it down into 9 or 10 different steps or pattern or template of how to pray. The first 5 we talked about last week. And so this prayer is Jesus teaching not to say these words word for word, which it's good to learn because it helps you remember what things to pray for and how to pray, and maybe even in what order. In fact, I think it's interesting that the Lord's Prayer starts with this intimacy. Our Father. It's not, Creator God, mysterious person out there. It's our Father. Very close and personal. And don't you think it's a little interesting that it doesn't start with our desires and our wants and our needs? It doesn't even start with our confessions. But it starts with our Father. And it acknowledges who our Father is. He is worthy to be praised. And so it starts with that. When we think of prayer, though, I want you to remember not to get complicated. To keep it simple. To keep it real. And to keep it up. If you've lost that connection with your Father, go back to Him. He receives you back. And talk to Him. Talk to Him about whatever is on your mind. Talk to Him about what's on your heart. And when you have fallen down because of sin, just admit it, receive His forgiveness, and get back on the horse. Get back into relationship with God. It's that easy, it's that simple. So I'm going to go through the first five real quick. Last week, the first one was the prayer of connection. This is remembering how God loves you, that God loves you as His Father. He has compassion on you. He has He cares about your needs, and He is this perfect Father. If you've had a bad father experience, if you have had no father experience, if you've had abuse with a father, this is not that Father. This is the perfect, loving, compassionate Father that is always with you, that is consistent, and His promises never fail. And so that connection is, remember how much God loves you. The second is the prayer of refocusing. Tell God how much you love Him. In my relationship with my wife, I won't go into this very in detail because you have your own relationship with people and it could be different. But in my relationship, if I just said to my wife, I love you, and just left it at that for the rest of my life, she might ask me the question, and she has asked me the question, why? And I think it's a valid question. Why do you love me? And answer that question. Why do you love God? Because blank. And I think we need to get beyond the because you provide for me, Lord, because you give me all these wonderful things. Why do you love God? Because He is this. Because He is that. Number three is the prayer of cooperation. Offer your life to be used for God's purposes. Your kingdom come. God has a plan and a purpose. I mean, it really just stops there. But if you read Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God invites us in to collaborate with Him. He gives us a purpose into His purposes. And so your kingdom come is us collaborating with Him. The fourth one is prayer of surrender. Give God your pain and sorrow. Give God your pain and sorrow. Over and over again it says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. He loves you and He wants to carry those burdens. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There will be pain. There will be sorrow. And in that pain and sorrow, that is not the gift for from God necessarily, but in that pain and sorrow are gifts that God gives us, like peace, like a deeper experience of God and His presence, and even a deeper closeness and maybe growth in our lives. And so when we go through pain and sorrow, we give those things to Him, we trust Him, and He has things in that pain and in that sorrow to teach us and to help us and to grow in Him. And so the last one last week was number 5, prayer of dependence. Trust God to meet your needs. It's interesting, again, that this is not the beginning of your prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This is halfway through. And it's very specific. Today, only today, not tomorrow. Scripture says, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of itself. Only consider today and trust God in those needs and ask Him for those needs. God, I need some bread today. You know, whatever those needs are. So those are the first 5. The last 5 today we're going to look at are only in verses 12 and 13 of Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Forgive us our sins, just as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Keep us from sinning when we are tempted, and save us from the evil one. This is a different translation. This is a new international readers. But in the NIV, it says, forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. Same idea. And then in the King James, it says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so there's 5 more things in there. Number 6, forgive us. This is a prayer of cleansing. And so you can fill in the blank. I admit, blank, that I have done wrong. A lot of times we've taught our kids this, because I think in our culture it's just like people say, I'm sorry, and that's it. But we've taught our kids, because we've learned it from other people and from our parents, that you need to do more than just, hey, I'm sorry. You need to ask for forgiveness for blank. Because what happens is that gives the other person an opportunity to say, yes, I forgive you. And it gives you the opportunity to acknowledge that you have done something wrong. It's not just this false world sorrow that I'm sorry that I got caught. So forgive us our sins. God promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises to forgive us instantaneously, forgive us freely, forgive us completely, and to forgive us permanently. Should I say that again? He promises that He will forgive us freely. He will forgive us instantaneously. He will forgive us completely, and He will forgive us permanently. David knew this forgiveness. He was probably a great sinner, like every one of us. He was a great sinner against the Lord, and yet there was forgiveness. In Psalms 32, 1 through 5, it says, this is David praying this, he's acknowledging this, he's writing this down. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer, then I acknowledged my sin. I admitted that I was wrong. I acknowledged my sin to you, O Lord, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. That's just a fancy word for sins. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. God does not want us to stay in that guilt. He does not want us to stay with that shame and guilt of sin. He wants to free us. And so that is why John wrote in 1 John 1:9, if we confess those sins, He is faithful. He will forgive us our sins. And He will purify us from all unrighteousness. We have all sinned against God. I have sinned against God. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I have sinned. You have sinned. We've all sinned. God, the Scripture says we've all sinned and fall short. We've all gone our own way. We have all done our rebellious, thumbs up to God. And yet, the good news is He offers forgiveness. He offers forgiveness. He also offers to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 1:18 says, even though your sins, this is another translation, I think this is the New International, even though your sins are bright red, they will be as white as snow. Even though they are deep red, they will be white like wool. I love the snow analogy. When it first lands on the ground, it is the most beautiful thing, and it's pure, and it's white, and it reminds us of what Jesus has done with our sins. He has wiped them clean, and we are cleansed. So we know the parable. This is a familiar parable, a familiar story that Jesus told about the son who wanted his stuff from his father, and he wanted it now. Soon, he wanted it sooner than later, and so his father gave him everything that he was going to get when his father would pass. And so then the son left on an excursion to the city, and he thought he had it all figured out. He was going to take that money and make a name for himself. He was going to take that money and find friends and experience life to the fullest. When he got to the city, he did find people who seemed to be his friend, but they just wanted to be around people with money and status. And so it only lasted until this son ran out of money, and then it seemed as his friends just disappeared. And so we jump into the story in verse 17 of Luke 15. The son comes to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. This is the story of all of us. This is the story of every last one of you and me. In different ways, we've walked away from the Father, thinking we have it covered, thinking we have it figured out. We can do it, right, without Him? Take note that the Son was with the Father at the beginning. He was already with the Father before. And so, this was Him going back to the Father. When we become children of God, there are times that we stray. Maybe even there have been times that we've walked away from the Father. We choose to do our own thing. We choose to make pleasure and pride our path. But sooner or later, we need to come to our senses. When we then will make a choice. What is that choice? Will we choose to go back to the Father, like the Son in the story, or choose to go back and choose to go back with humility and repentance? It only takes a moment to return. It just takes a minute or two just to decide, I'm going to go back to the Father with humility. Verse 20 of Luke 15. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Just stop for a minute there. This is the Father that's in that Lord's Prayer. This is the Creator of the universe that is running after you, running to meet you as you're coming back to Him. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. We're going to have a party, right? Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is a picture of what happens when we repent. This is a picture of what happens when we say, you know what, God, I was wrong. And I need your forgiveness. Repentance means to turn around. It means to change your mind. It means to think differently afterwards. Simply speaking, repentance means turning from going your own way to going God's way. So because it's autumn, I decided to bring a pumpkin today. And it's Halloween, so I brought a pumpkin today. And if you've ever heard the analogy or the story of a pumpkin, there's the story of the gardener who plants the pumpkin seed, and then eventually it grows into this pumpkin right here. And then so the gardener then grows this pumpkin. This is not the biggest pumpkin, but this is a good pie pumpkin. And so the gardener takes the pumpkin out of the garden and washes the pumpkin off and cleans it. And then you could probably know where I'm going with this. The gardener cuts open the pumpkin at the top like this. And he takes all the junk and the garbage and the seeds and the yucks. You know, the yuck doesn't even feel very good, does it? And he cleans it all out. And then he cuts this really beautiful face. Some of you don't cut beautiful faces in your pumpkins. That's okay. But he makes this face in this pumpkin. And what does he do? He gets a candle, the gardener, and puts a candle inside and lights it up and breathes life into it. If I had a candle, I'd put a candle in there. This is an analogy of God. He created you. He picked you. He took you out of the garden. He cleaned you up. He took all the sin and the anger and the rage and everything that the hurts and the pain and all of that, and took it all out. He gutted all of that out of you. And then what did he do? He filled the empty place inside of you with himself. He is the light. He shines through you. And so that also story kind of translates with a 10-year-old girl asked her classmate, what is it like to be a Christian? The girl replied, it's like being a pumpkin. God picks you from the patch, brings you in, washes all the dirt off. He cuts open the top, scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, etc. And He carves a new smile on your face. And He puts His light inside of you to shine for the whole world to see. That's what being a Christian looks like. Every day, every week, every moment, there are times that we fall short. That we need God to get that junk out of us, to cleanse us. There are many times that I have to confess to my kids and my wife that I've spoke poorly, or I've spoke mean to somebody, or my attitude really just was not right. And I think that's when God is taking that stuff and He's cleaning it out. And that's why it's so important to continually pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us for our sins. The seventh is the prayer of release. I release those who have hurt me. As we forgive those who sin against us. Rick Warren said, forgiveness isn't about fairness. Forgiving each other, or forgiveness, is about grace. The first key to learning how to forgive others is to remember how much you have been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Rick Warren also said this, and I think this is a pretty powerful statement. He says, you will never be able to forgive more than God has already forgiven you. You will never be able to out-forgive God. And to remember that He has forgiven you, you need to be forgiving others. He's very serious about that. Matthew 6:14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is a big deal. God is serious about forgiving others. Even though you've had pain, even though you've had hurt, even though you've had rejection, God tells you, tells me, tells us to forgive. At the age of 6, Ruby Bridges was volunteered by her mother to become the first African-American girl to attend an all-white elementary school in Louisiana. Each day, she was escorted to and from school by up to 25 federal marshals to protect her from the crowd of angry protesters at the school gates. One woman would regularly scream death threats at Ruby. Another protester held a black doll in a coffin. Every parent pulled their child out of the school. Having braved the crowd's hatred, Ruby would sit alone in the empty classroom. She was taught by a lady, Barbara Henry, the only teacher willing to offer her an education. Ruby recalls wandering the school during her breaks, looking for all the other children. And there's images of this tiny little girl, so smartly dressed, clutching her school bag, guarded by suited men twice her size, which polarized America at that time. In fact, Norman Rockwell depicted the scene in this famous painting. It's titled, The Problem We All Live With. I think we still live with that problem in some ways. It's in different realms. But watching this tragedy unfold, child psychologist Robert Coles offered Ruby counseling. And in those counseling sessions, once a week, he sat in her humble home where she was with her 4 siblings and her parents who could neither read nor right. And he said things like, you look like you were talking to the people in the street on your way into school yesterday. And he asks her, did you finally get angry with them? Were you telling them to leave you alone? She said politely, no, doctor. I didn't tell them anything. I didn't talk to them. Well, what were you talking to, or who were you talking to? The little girl stared at him. I was talking to God. I was praying to God for the people in the street. You were praying for them? But Ruby, why were you praying for them? Her eyes widened, and she said, well, don't you think they need praying for? And Robert Coles was lost for words. Regaining his composure, he whispered, what do you say when you pray for them? Oh, I always say the same thing. Please, God, try to forgive these people. Because even if they say those bad things, they don't know what they are doing. Wow, that's incredible. And it reminds us of Jesus and what he said on the cross. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus calls us to forgive those who sin against us. This is how the cycles of hatred can be broken. It's what he models for us on the cross. It is the Lord's Prayer. He is praying. He's teaching us to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a cry for reconciliation at every level. In our broken relationship with God the Father, hallowed be your name. In our broken relationship with one another, forgive us as we forgive. In our broken relationship with the world, your kingdom come. And in fact, this line about forgiving those sins against us can be applied to every line of the Lord's Prayer. Father, your name be hallowed as we forgive. Father, your kingdom come as we forgive. Father, as we are forgiven, will you forgive? As I forgive, will you forgive? And so when you are hurt, when you are rejected, when you are someone offends you, you can either relive it or release it. And there are probably people in your life who have hurt you deeply. And the idea of forgiving them may well be very painful. But until you choose to forgive, they will still have a hold on your heart. Unforgiveness, we've heard this, is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person will die. Forgiving is not naive. Forgiving is not forgetting. It's not saying that what the other person said or did was okay in any way. It doesn't mean leaving yourself exposed for future attacks either. Forgiving may involve talking to a friend, may involve getting counseling, it may involve even going to the police. But forgiveness is the choice to love and let go. Not to hate, not to hold on, but it's a process. It tends to be a process. And so we choose to forgive again and again, just as Jesus said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And I don't think he was being a mathematician at that moment. I think he was serious about, hey, you need to continue forgiving. And that is why it's important to, on a regular basis, not to pray specifically the Lord's Prayer, but to pray that pattern of prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins and help me to forgive others. And then Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Forgive us, and also help us to forgive others. I spent a lot of time on those two, so I'm going to go quicker with the next three. Number 8, the prayer of protection. I ask God for help. Lead us not into temptation, is the phrase. Temptation is always, or is not always about doing the wrong thing. Temptation is also about not doing the right thing. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So you know it's good, you know it's right, and you don't do it. And you know it's wrong, and you go do it. They're both sin. Hebrews 2:18, our kids have been learning this in quizzing. It says, because he himself suffered. And I stop with that word suffered, because it threw me when I read it recently again. It's Jesus suffered, just like you and I suffer when we are tempted. He is able, because he was suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. We struggle with temptations. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is the stepping stone to sin. And so when we are tempted, Jesus was tempted. When we are tempted, the way out is to remember that he suffered and he struggled and he is able to help us. The 9th one is prayer of deliverance. I depend on Jesus' power and authority. Deliver us from evil. There's a lot of evil in this world, but there's a lot of evil in our backyard, in our living room, in our church. I mean, yes, there's evil, and people don't seem to even acknowledge God, but this evil is not just talking about out there. It's talking about the enemy. And deliver us from evil. Help us not to give in to temptation. Help us to walk away from it. And help us to walk towards you, Father. Deliver us from evil. And then the last one is the prayer of victory. This phrase is in the King James Version. It's, I praise God for his victory in my life. The phrase is, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This phrase reminds us that the Lord's Prayer ends where it began. It started with God's glory. It started with who he is. And the Lord's Prayer ends with who he is. He is worthy to be praised. Jesus is teaching us that God should be glorified in our lives, no matter the outcome. And so the purpose of prayer is not to conform, God to our needs and our wants. It is, or our will. The purpose of prayer is to allow God to conform us to him and his power and his glory and his kingdom. Psalms 115:1 says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and faithfulness. So how should we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and give us a couple minutes of just strumming. And I just want us to take a couple minutes of some examine prayer. Just to come to the Father, and if there's some things that you need to make right with the Lord, now is the time. And so I want to give you a couple minutes. I want to give all of us a couple minutes to just pray and seek the Lord. Remember what I said. He receives you just like the prodigal son was received back into the Father's arms. He forgives us. We just have to admit it. We just have to repent and say, I want to be humble and come back to you, Father. And so He receives you. Run to Him. Let's take a couple minutes and pray.